Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the Ivy Podcast. We got Vinny DeVoe on. Vinny, how you doing, sir?
Good, Rob. How you doing?
I am good. Thanks so much for jumping on. Vinny is the Director of Business Applications for Signature Consultants, a very technical forward staffing and recruiting firm, but also a staffing firm dedicated to actual relationships. And I use the word actual on purpose. But Vinny, before I steal all your thunder, why don't you give a quick intro to yourself and Signature for everybody?
Excellent. Thanks, Rob. So yeah, Vinny DeVoe, Signature Consultants. We're an IT staffing company primarily. We focus in four verticals: IT, finance and accounting, professional, federal, and executive search. We're headquartered out of Fort Lauderdale. Currently the 15th largest IT staffing company. And we've been, around for the last 23 years, with offices spanning from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast. As you mentioned, I'm the Director of Business Applications, and I'm responsible for managing all of our front office applications and any technology that our recruiters and salespeople handle. I am starting to actually get into some more back office applications, but my primary focus is ensuring that the recruiters and salespeople in our organization have the tools to do their job. And I go through the process of vetting out new technologies, researching, to selecting and deploying, all the way through adoption and solutioning business processes that help the business to actually become more efficient and effective in doing their jobs.
Awesome. I've actually sold to Vinny. And it is a very deliberate and well thought out and thoughtful process. Appreciate that. But when you need to solve something, you need to solve something. And in 2020, man, you probably had to solve a bunch of things. So the conversation today, guys, will focus on, how Signature iterated, because I know they did a great job in 2020. But then we're also going to, at the end, kind of cover what Vinny thinks and what maybe the business of Signature Consultant thinks will stick into 2021. So Vinny, maybe highlight a couple of things that you guys really had to identify and pivot and start to move around very quickly to, March 2020.
We definitely lucked out. I've told this to others and on other engagements that I've been on. We positioned ourselves not intentionally with the pandemic. We were lining up some technologies to help build candidate engagement, to help automate manual processes internally. Our intent was never to go super fast. We were going to take things slow, be methodical in our approach and rolling these technologies out. But the pandemic forced us to move quickly. So it was open up the fire hose March, mid-March for my group. There was a lot of requests coming in to handle. And fortunately, we had some technology in place to be able to pivot very quickly. The main driver around it was communication. I think that was the biggest area where in the past it would have been a much manual process to get out mass communication very, very quickly in a pandemic. So we instituted our BCP, our business continuity plan, and part of that was the communication. And I jumped in and said, hey, I can help you with communication. In the past, we may have tried to do it through our ATS, which would have been very cumbersome to try to target specific people. But we had an automation tool called Hearfish that allowed us to quickly query our database or our ATS and really target specific audiences. And it varied. It varied to general communication to all of our consultants, which those were pretty straightforward and pretty easy to do, to client-specific requests. you know, we had specific clients that had protocols in place and they wanted us to distribute that communication, even though they might've been distributing it internally, they wanted to ensure that the consultants received it from us. So they were sending us, you know, policies and procedures, remote work from home plans. There was a lot of different things that were happening. And that was the initial kind of floodgates that opened. And we were able to quickly get that communication out. We've also coupled HearFish with TextUs. So we're able to communicate both not only through email, but through texting. So that allowed us to get out communication pretty quickly and ensure that people would see that communication, because some of it was extremely important. We also had some additional requests, which got to down to, if we didn't have this technology in place, we would have been scrambling. It would have been very difficult for us to find something quickly, stand it up and be able to deploy. But we had a request from a large national client that asked us to do daily wellness checks with our candidates, our consultants. And in the past, that probably would have been a very manual process of emailing them all, collecting the responses, you know, collecting those responses, tallying them up on a spreadsheet, and then sending it over to the client. And they want the report daily. Today, we're still doing that, and it's fully automated, completely end to end. Outside of the report, we pull the report daily and we send it over to the client. But the actual triggering of that communication, it being sent out, completely automated, and it's taken off the administrative burden of collecting those responses. And so, like I said, having that in place allowed us to quickly pivot, quickly respond to the requests that were coming at us, and not have to kind of start from square one.
That's awesome. And full transparency, guys, I was part of the solutions team that sold Signature HearFish in late 2019. This was not at all what Vinny planned on using HearFish for to start. And it was cool to see someone see some success with something so quickly, and it also just pivot so quickly. So it was always awesome when something that you sold is being used, because personally, I don't like selling things that aren't going to be used. I'm not that person. Vinny, so anything? Okay, so obviously communication sounds like it was key. And learning how to use technology very quickly to automate manual steps, which I'm sure your team and anyone in the the operations side of the business appreciated. What else kind of changed for you guys rapidly, and how did you guys adapt? I know we were talking pre-call about a few things. So
yeah, so few of the things that we had to do, you know, our model, like you mentioned, really is relationship driven. So we do meet all of our candidates. All of our candidates do come into our offices. We meet with them. We qualify them and we go through a pretty intense interview process on the front end. Same thing on the sales side. Our account managers are out on the road, you know, going door to door to clients, meeting with them, lunches, happy hours, dinners, out of office events, just the gamut, right? The full gamut of relationship building. And that all ended, right? That all ended to the extent that we didn't have that as an option. So we had to pivot to how are we going to now still stay in touch with the candidate, still qualify them as close to face-to-face as possible, right? And so most people pivoted to Zoom or some type of video conferencing tool. We had Zoom already in place. We had been using it for 2 years, more internally and less externally. For internal meetings, we have leadership and teams spread out all throughout the country. So it made it easier for us. We had a video solution prior. We upgraded to Zoom 2 years ago. I was part of that implementation as well. So again, putting us in a position to just deploy. We didn't have Zoom in the hands of every recruiter and every salesperson. We do now, so that they can do video client meetings. They can do video candidate interviews. That made things a lot easier. Obviously the technical component of this, of making sure they were comfortable at home, work from home setups. I was part of some of that process. But then the biggest thing was, all right, now that we're not in an office, how do we conduct business as close to normal being all remote? And I would say one of the bigger bigger things that I had to help solve was around our morning meetings. Each office has a morning prioritization meeting where they sit down and they review the open jobs, you know, submissions, pending interviews, upcoming starts, all of that, right? They review that. They have a morning meeting every single day, all the business units do. And so now how do you take that from a whiteboard, sitting around a whiteboard in an office, to everyone now being remote? So we pivoted using Microsoft Teams and O365. In that aspect, we took all of the whiteboards, basically replicated them in a shared Excel document. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. That's linked to their Teams, so that it's basically mirrors the board that's in their office. And so they have the ability to go in at any time, real time, as if they were sitting in an office, look at the open requirements, look at, see if there's been any activity on those requirements, and they could conduct their meetings as they would. I know
you cringe. Okay, I'm gonna jump in because I'm cringing. Why were you doing this in the ATS? And just breaking it out silent.
Yeah,
you don't have to answer because that might take forever. Okay.
Yeah, it's a long-standing question to Bullhorn that I've asked them about, and so it's good. I mean, it's just the
amount of data that you want is different than you could get on a list view in the ATS CRM.
Yeah, it's not as robust as the view that they want to see. You don't get all the activity associated to what you'd want to see in one view.
Does that make duplicate work for the recruit, like for the recruiter in the AM when they have to enter submissions twice, or?
It's very basic information.
Okay.
It's not a ton of effort, and it's a one-time thing where they're entering it. And they're typically doing it real time in the meeting. Okay. So they'll be like, hey, they may have a meeting in the morning. I submitted this candidate, and they'll just add them to that particular.
So, but that's all happening in the ATS when it actually happens live.
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
100%. So it's more of like the verbal tracker, to 30,000 foot view, and then the actual operational is happening in the software. Okay. I'm mildly less upset.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I did sit through a Bullhorn Engage conference. It was a couple years ago.
Probably,
where
yeah.
they did show in one of their product roadmap discussions that they had gone around to different offices and taken pictures of whiteboards. And I was pleasantly surprised that we're not at much different than many other staffing companies.
I greatly dislike morning meetings, and I greatly dislike whiteboards from having done them for 5 years. So.
Yeah, it is definitely, it's a little bit of an archaic process, right? You know, but it does help prioritize.
This is the day. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. And so anyway, they were doing this in the office, and so now we're all at home. How do we replicate that, but also give them the ability to continue to collaborate? And again, through the use of technology in the past, they probably would have created an Excel document, emailed that out, right? Emailed it out to the team. It would have been lost in their thousands of emails that they get. Now it's all stored in one location, a shared document in Teams, where they can comment, have conversations, really discuss what's happening throughout the day, not just in the meeting in the morning. That's why we leverage Teams to do both. And it's been highly adopted and well received throughout the company.
I like it. I mean, it does help that it's in the cloud, right? So you're using like the cloud version of Excel.
Yeah, no more emailing of the, no, we're not emailing that out anymore. So it's all like, just basically it's dynamic in the sense that it's being updated, but it's not moving around. It's
everyone
staying.
Can collaborate on the same document. You could see the audits, et cetera. It's the one thing that Microsoft learned from Google to put that in the cloud that really, I think, helped a lot of businesses instead of having to
100%
mail the sheet around or mail the Excel file around. Awesome, man. How much, I thought this was fascinating pre-call too. How fast were you guys iterating and failing during 2020, you know, pandemic lockdown? You know, how fast are you trying new things? And you know, maybe transition this into what you think is going to stick into 2021 as well.
Yeah, it was very eye-opening to see how quickly the business adapted to new technology and to new change, because we had to move fast. There was, you know, we couldn't solve every problem, but we did what we could to adapt to the being remote. And I would say the business, it was very, very interesting dynamic to watch the business shift their mindset as far as, or their paradigm around how they view technology and how they view change. Because in the past, previous pre-COVID, it took forever to roll stuff out. You know, we literally, it was, you know, 3 to 6 month evaluation process to selection. Now we have the product, you know, the implementation typically would move a lot faster because that fell on my team, and we would move at the pace that we could move. And then again, when it comes time to rolling out, how are we rolling it out? Are we doing a big bang? Are we doing a phased approach? Are we doing a pilot? Are we doing, you know, a variety of different things? And a lot of that just changed. A lot of it was, you know, hey, we need it now. What we need a solution now. What can we do? You know, we need to be able to communicate. We need to be able to collaborate. We need to be able to, you know, what's the best way to take things that we were maybe using Excel, which is a, you know, is probably a very common problem with a lot of businesses. It's a lot of salespeople, a lot of recruiters, they'll just default to Excel, and now take that to and bring it back into the ATS, which we've done a ton of. I know I shared with you one example where it was, where we recommended a different solution. It initially was looking at Bullhorn to run the meetings out of it, but ultimately it just came down to a business decision to do those morning meetings through Excel. It wasn't a battle that was worth fighting at the time. It may eventually get to a point where we build an electronic version of that, pulling the data from the ATS. But there's been a variety of things that, from customer data to, you know, job lists to a bunch of stuff that was done in Excel, that the leadership group said, we got to stop doing this. We have to stop doing this. And we've been saying it for years, but we really did stop doing it. Like, it was like, all right, how do we take this? And can we do this in, and I keep mentioning Bullhorn. Bullhorn is our ATS. So using Bullhorn, and can we take this spreadsheet and now move it to the ATS? And what I realized with that process is, you know, you may not be able to do an exact duplicate. I'm not always looking to do an exact duplicate. I'm always looking to improve the process, make it more streamlined. There may be some gaps, and that's what the business needs to understand. It may not be apples to apples. You may have some slight gaps, but the overall, what I typically focus on is the efficiency gains. You mentioned it, duplication of effort, right? It's a waste of time. Why are we doing stuff outside of our core system?
Well, the other thing too, and this is something that, you know, we talk about, if you're selling an ATS, right, to a company like Signature, you're like, hey, we talk to hundreds of staffing firms, thousands of staffing firms a year, right? You guys are doing a great job, but we built the system to match their workflow. Obviously, there's going to be gaps on what you want to do, but this software is built for best practices of a group, right? So there might be, you might recognize benefits, but it's not going to match exactly what you're trying to do because, you know, it could be any reason, but, you know, like it's this idea of stop buying software and then try and jam your process into it. Kind of figure out what the software is meant to solve and then go through. And not like you have to do it all the time. Like Excel is a huge issue, or Google Sheets is a huge issue for all businesses, but like that mindset. So
I would say another area, is around lead generation. There's been a heavy focus on sales, obviously in a time where there's an economic decline and job orders are declining, or were declining. They're not anymore, but they were in the first few months of the pandemic. Everyone was panicking and like, how do we generate more business? How do we go out and find more business? And the first thing was lead generation. Right. And how do we do that? And we've always kind of done it. We haven't done it really well. And so that was part of this initial push was let's re-engineer that process. Let's get that back in to Bullhorn and let's redo it all. And we started from scratch. You know, we sat down, we defined what a lead is, We work through, you know, the configuration. We work with Bullhorn specifically on solutions. And ultimately we're using their CRM portion of their platform using leads and we didn't have that implemented initially. We're now using leads and we have a full end-to-end training program to accountability, to reporting all through Bullhorn, where before it was done through email. There was templates in Outlook. It was all over the map and there was no consistency from one business unit to another. That's all gone to Bullhorn. And, you know, we've seen a lot of really, really good results out of that. New clients, new job orders, and obviously, you know, a lot more placements.
Well, I think this is, you know, one of the things that I always highlight is like plugging in the SaaS sales models into staffing. You guys scaled through software and you don't have like the outreaches of the world or the, you know, the chili pipe or the pepper, whatever, like whatever those extra things are. But you can scale the process or the HubSpots, right? But you can scale the process through a technology to make it streamlined, right? Because you have the data, you have, you know, note types, you have statuses of where they are as a lead or what stage of the funnel they're in. So it's great to hear. I'm always excited to hear that because you're not the only person who is focused on sales, right? Because obviously, you know, 2020 dries up some wells and exacerbates other wells, and you still need to start to find, you know, you can't be heavily reliant on one industry because that's how businesses, you know, that's where businesses go to fail, right? If you're so, you know, yep. You're so one-sided.
The other thing I wanted to mention was, it sounds like, you know, I'm talking about Herefish, Bullhorn, TextUS. None of that was new. None of that was new technology. Well, we were in the beginning stages with TextUS and Herefish, but that was part of our strategy in 2018, 2019. It wasn't like we scrambled and dropped everything and went out and found all new technology. One of the things that I wanted to share with everyone was we really doubled down on our existing tech, right? And so where we didn't have to, by default in the past, it was like, oh, can we go out and find a technology that can do this versus looking at our existing technology and are we even using the basic foundation of that platform to be efficient, right? And so that's part of what we've done is really kind of take a step back and say, can we take these things that we've traditionally have maybe done manually or done differently in the system and rework the entire process versus, hey, can we go find a new system that's going to generate leads for us? No, we have a system. We just need to use that system effectively and make sure that it works for the business. I think we had tried it early on with our go live with Bullhorn and it just really didn't, we didn't have the energy behind it that we did coming out of this or back in March with the pandemic. We had a lot of energy, a lot of leadership focus and the accountability mechanism behind it. And that's really helped drive it. And we've seen a lot of success with it. So that's been a big part of all these. In the past, I've always been a very big promoter of change and business process change. But now it's really the business coming to me asking for these solutions, right? So that's been a big shift where I can recommend solutions that I have in the past, where they're now saying, hey, we're doing this in Excel or we're doing this way now. And we want to find a better way of doing this. Is there some tool out there that can help us do this?
Well, I think I said this to you and maybe it was, I didn't mean it, maybe it's kind of flippant as I said it, but it's like, if you're having a ton of success, doing it the way that let's say Signature or any business was doing it, why would you change? Unless there's a reason. Like going out and buying lunch for clients or new prospects and going, you know, have dinners, whatever, it works. So like, you know, or go to conferences, but now you can't go to conferences. So now you need actual leads, right? Like we as SaaS salespeople to the staffing industry rely on conferences too. And so we're trying to wrap our head around how do we engage digitally with people, right? And like digital, let's be honest, digital conferences were fairly lackluster. Yeah. Overall, in 2020, I will say that my favorite digital platform for a conference is Hopin. I think I told you that the other day. Yeah. They just did the World Staffing Summit on it, and it was really engaging and easy to use, and there was meaningful connections and stuff going on. So if you don't know about Hopin, go check it out. They just acquired StreamYard, which is how you can do live like business streams for like conversations like this onto YouTube or LinkedIn, etc. So they're really going all in on this digital, which leads us, Vinny, to what do you think is sticking? What's sticking beyond, pandemic life? We're still in it. We're still, we're hopefully going to get out of it. But what do you think is sticking?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big thing that we're talking about internally, things that we don't want to change because it's been such a benefit to the business. I would say one of the bigger thing is the increased communication that's come out of this, that it's allowed us to move at a much faster pace. At the size that we were operating, we were moving a little bit slower internally to communicate. And so I would think at times could hinder, how long it took for us to either roll out something new, whether it be technology, a new process, whatever. It just took a lot longer. But now within a 1 to 2 week period, I can very easily hit pretty much the entire organization on communication. We have, a lot of the teams are now doing, like I mentioned, these daily virtual meetings. The executive leadership group was meeting a few times a week pre-pandemic. Now they're meeting daily. Our managing directors who run each of the branches are meeting daily. We have a whole enterprise sales and delivery groups. So we, at a leadership level. So there's a lot of forums, a lot of places for me, for my team to go to be able to communicate ideas, new changes, or if they have questions about, hey, what about, can we do this? There's opportunities and forums for us to discuss these things, and we can move faster, right? Before it could, a small little thing could take months to roll out, and now I can do it in weeks. So in a very short period of time, not that I'm looking to move super, super fast, but if there's a urgent request, I can move a lot faster because I don't have to wait a long time in between to communicate and get in front of the right audiences. That's one thing. As I mentioned before, I think trying new technology, us adopting and trying new technology faster and not being hesitant to move at a faster pace, I don't see that slowing down. I don't see that being, hey, we go back in the office, whatever date that is, and now instead of going back to the way we were before, taking months to roll stuff out, we'll still move at that same pace. So because I'll still have these communication forums to connect. The other thing too, I think, it's gonna be an interesting, it's gonna be an interesting time when we do go back, because some of the things that we're talking about internally are, all right, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, is we're a high touch organization. We meet all of our candidates. We meet all of our clients. We prefer to do that, right? But are our candidates and our clients going to want us to do that? So that's going to be a whole different dynamic. So I see there's going to be almost a hybrid potentially of what we were doing before and what we're doing now. Of there'll be clients, eventually things will open up. Things will hopefully settle down, and there'll be some of our clients will be open to meeting with us again, having us come on site, meeting for lunch, meeting for drinks, all the fun things that we did before. Same thing with the candidates, but then you're going to have others that are going to have policies in place that say no visitors in the building, no vendor lunches, no vendor office of events, things like that. So we'll just have to adapt, and we'll have to make sure that maybe instead of a candidate coming into an office, we have our recruiters sitting in that same room where a candidate would have came, and on a webcam doing a in-person or a video meeting with them. We were always talking about doing that, but now we know it works, right? We know it works. We've been able to sustain and actually grow, which has been exciting. during this time. So that's allowed us to really test a lot of things to say, hey, let's try this out and make sure that it's going to work. We've pulled back on stuff as well. You know, there's things that haven't worked, and we've either completely abandoned it, or we've had to just rebuild it a different way. But for the most part, I would say, you know, the way we engage in with our candidates and our clients, the adoption of technology, and then the over communication, the ability to communicate more effectively. I think Teams is, for us, is going to be a game changer. It has been. It's still, you know, it's one of those things that's going to take time for people to really adopt. So it's one of the, I've seen a big shift in the past 6 months, but I feel like in the next, this year will be transformational.
It gets a lot easier to work remotely after year one.
Yeah.
My first year of working remotely was strange, but year two was easy, and year three was the pandemic. So, you know.
Yeah. Another example of something that we did that we'll get it where I can't guarantee that we're going to keep it, but I would imagine that we probably will shift the way we're doing this, is we run a user group called Commune IT. You may have seen some posts on LinkedIn from some of our employees, but we basically run it initially started in one of our Midwest offices as a user group locally for one of the offices, where we just brought a bunch of IT managers together to talk about technology topics, right? And we did it in an office. Like we sponsored it. We hosted the event in one of our signature branches. And it was gaining some traction pre-COVID. But when we all went remote, they shifted all virtually, and it has taken off. Like, it's gone from, I don't know the numbers, but it was a very, you know, a small subset of the managers, to now we just had an event last week. We had 150 plus IT managers all collaborating and talking about specific topics. And again, you talk about leads, you talk about ability to connect with people. They have appreciated it. And it's not just, we've kind of had some spinoffs, women in IT leadership, and some other different user groups that have spun off of this. And now it's expanded from one market to pretty much all of our markets. And it's continuing to grow, where that's an example of something that would have, without the use of technology, it would have probably taken a lot longer to deploy and roll out. And this is just, it's taken off, and it's been a game changer for us internally, to stay connected with our managers and, you know, find out what's going on in the market and what their concerns are. Cause they're some of our top clients are presenters. They, you know, it's basically turned into a webinar series of topics, and super engaging. I've attended a number of them, and I've learned a lot coming out of it, of what other companies. It's funny, it's interesting to hear a lot of these large companies are dealing with a lot of the same issues that we're dealing with, right? And a lot of smaller companies are dealing with. So it's just really interesting to kind of hear, you know, top level executives and at big firms talk about some of the challenges they're having.
Yeah, what's interesting, it reminds me of one of the smaller staffing companies in Orlando had a tech and beer community that they grew really big in Orlando, and then they expanded into different markets. I don't know what happened to it. I'm assuming it died during COVID, but it sounds like a very similar idea, which is really the way to sell, right? Like, stop trying to force your way into someone and use the community to get in there. So that's exciting to see, and I'm glad it's growing. And obviously people were clamoring for connection.
100%.
So it's awesome. Well, Vinny, man, thank you so much. It's great getting the chat with you. How can people connect with you or find you?
Yeah, they can find me on LinkedIn, Vincent DeVoe, or if you have questions or want to chat, I'd be happy to talk tech with anyone out there. My email is vdevoe@sigconsult.com.
And we'll post that, because, you know, it's spelled like William. No, it's not. His has an F in it, or is it a V?
It's an F. It's DEVOE.
Yeah, I got it. So it's just very similar. Just, you know, move the consonant. All right, cool. Vinny, thank you so much, man. It was great chatting. Thank you.
Rob, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.